Welcome to Voices of NCAJ. We're talking to members of the North Carolina Advocates for Justice about what it means to be a trial lawyer, what it takes to be great at the practice of law, and how being a part of NCAJ enriches their lives and careers. Produced and powered by Law Pods.
Welcome, everyone, to Voices of NCAJ, the podcast for the North Carolina Advocates for Justice. I am Amber Nimix, your host and Director of External Affairs for the North Carolina Advocates for Justice. Before we get started, I'd like to thank today's episode sponsor, Advocate Capital. Advocate is passionate about helping plaintiffs' attorneys get better results for clients, mainly through their AdvoTrack case expense funding service. It allows firms to track case expenses and recover borrowing costs, which makes the net cost of borrowing zero on cases they win. You can learn more at advocatecapital.com. My guest today is Kristen Dewar, loyal NCAJ member and enthusiastic liker of NCAJ social media posts. Kristen practices criminal defense law with Minnick Law in Concord. She has served in numerous leadership positions since she joined NCAJ in 2014, including chair of the criminal defense section, at-large member of the executive committee, membership vice president, and she is currently finishing her second term as DEI vice president. Kristen is also co-chair of Convention 2025, which is coming right up in just about 2 months. That's in Charlotte, June 18 through 20. And if you want to learn more and register, you can go to ncaj.com/convention-2025. Kristen, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Amber, thank you for having me.
So, Kristen, you have been a member of NCAJ for more than 10 years. How did you come to the organization?
I joined as a law student. I was in law school, participating in our school's criminal justice clinic, and our clinic professor strongly suggested that all of us join NCAJ for the listserv so we could get advice on how to work our cases. We had a bunch of appointed cases that we were working from was overflow from the Mecklenburg PD's office. So that's how I joined initially.
Those listservs, that's always a good bait for anybody at any stage in practice and practice of criminal or any area, really. So once you sort of got your foot in the door, how did you make the initial connections that helped you find your place in the organization?
Well, first I went to Sidebar Socials as a law student just to kind of meet other actually licensed attorneys in the local area. In terms of as far as leadership positions, it was actually a very early Women's Caucus event put on in Charlotte that was poorly attended, but attended by enough local NCAJ leaders that there was time for us to have longer extended conversations. And I would really put my finger on that event as what was the catalyst to have me get more involved with leadership.
So do you remember who you met at that Women's Caucus event?
Yeah. Let's see. Lauren Newton was there and Anne-Marie Panasekis was there. I remember speaking to Anne-Marie quite a bit at that event. In fact, I think that was the first time I ever spoke with Anne-Marie, but she had quite an impact on me actually from that meeting. And I think that was really what inspired me to see a future for myself in NCAJ, not just being just a member, just somebody who used the listserv and met with people at sidebars.
So that kind of connection can be really important for growing what's one of the legs. We like to think that NCAJ has like sort of three important legs of networking, education, and advocacy. And the networking really sets it apart because it is a place where you can make connections that you can't make anywhere else. And so that's part of what the DEI task force has been working on for the past year or so, right?
Right. Yes, that is what we've been working on. So the committee, along with our strategic planning task force and the work of our wonderful consultant, Michelle Hughes, we have developed an initiative called the Building Bridges to Excellence Initiative. And it's really all about fostering connections, fostering community, and being a welcoming environment for members, prospective current members, while recruiting and retaining a membership body that reflects a wide variety of experiences and perspectives, talents, and interests, ensuring that everybody has an opportunity to engage in leadership. And we're really trying to weave that into the institutional fabric of NCHA with benchmarks that are going to be monitored by staff and by the committee. One of the important tools that we'll be using to build those connections you'll see likely soon at convention is the ambassador program that we're working on in partnership with the membership committee. And that's to link new attendees at convention to more veteran members or new prospective members coming to convention for the first time. I think that'll be a really good experience.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that aspect of the program because I think it will give new and maybe not even necessarily new, but members who haven't quite yet been drawn in with that personal connection, you know, I'll give them a way in. But a program like this can also give longtime members sort of an agency over the organization. To feel like they have sort of an ownership and a role that they might not feel empowered or might not feel like they necessarily have the right to take on. You know, when you say, no, it is your job to give this person a way into the organization, to play host.
Definitely. Yeah. As the community of trial lawyers that we all are, it can be daunting as somebody who maybe hasn't participated in one of our major events, our signature events, to attend that for the first time. But I think all of our members, especially if you're a longtime member, you may not remember exactly what that meant it felt like to go to an event like that for the first time. But you as a member definitely have the opportunity to welcome that new attendee in, take them in and show them around, introduce some of your colleagues, introduce them to anybody else that you know who's there, and make convention that much more fun, that much more welcoming for that new attendee.
And so when you were that new attorney who had just graduated from law school, you were not only sort of new to the legal community, but you were new to North Carolina as well. Is that correct?
It is. I was new to America. Yes. I'm from Canada. I moved here to go to law school originally, and that was in 2012. And I graduated in 2015. And I had gone to undergrad in Canada, so I didn't have that community here, and I had to develop it. And NCHA, I found to be a very welcoming community, and I think of many members as really good friends, and the Women's Caucus especially, we have a really deep connection, all of us, and as we're coming up in the organization and becoming leaders in the organization and driving initiatives in the organization, It's been amazing. That is a perspective that I bring to the DEI committee and to my work as a criminal defense attorney that maybe not all of my other colleagues have.
Sure. Yeah. So what made you decide to move to America and become a criminal defense attorney in Concord?
Well, that's a very long story, but...
Well, we got time.
In terms of what brought me to North Carolina, I was looking at schools outside of Canada. I was interested in, I didn't move away to go to undergrad. I did undergrad at home. I went to the University of Toronto.
Is that where you're from? Did you grow up in Toronto?
I am from Toronto. I grew up in Toronto, born and raised. So when I had an opportunity to go back to school, I'd taken 4 years off after undergrad and I worked. I graduated into the Great Recession. So I had quite a bit of time to have a career and such. And I did retail management. Might always prepare you to deal with the public. It's really been instructive in my criminal defense career. Interestingly enough, difficult clients, know how to manage them. But yes, how I ended up coming to North Carolina was I was looking for schools in America. I wanted to try, you know, moving out of the country and have that experience. I have some family. My mom comes from a very large family. She had a brother, and I had some cousins in South Carolina, not far from Charlotte, where I ended up. So I knew I would always have family nearby if something went wrong or anything like that. And I wanted to stay in the same time zone as my family. And so that all kind of worked out. And of course, I call myself, you know, someone who's been running from the snow. So that's why I ended up in Charlotte. In terms of criminal defense, I've wanted to be a criminal defense attorney since I was 4 years old, which sounds nuts.
Really?
Yes.
How did you know at 4 years old?
Well, it's funny. I always was told I remember my mom always telling me this story about this conference she had had with my kindergarten teacher, that I had this strong sense of justice. And I used to stand up for people in class who were accused of stealing a toy or spilling the water at the water station or stuff like that. So I guess it was always in my blood. And why I wanted to be a lawyer was because I watched all these TV shows when I was a child. And all the lawyers on TV when I was a kid thought were, you know, cool. They were criminal defense attorneys, whether that be my grandma watched a lot of Matlock. So, you know, Matlock or Perry Mason, or my mom watched L.A. Law, and they some of them did some criminal defense. And there, I think there was even a criminal defense attorney on The Young and the Restless, who I thought was cool. So from there, I just always wanted to be a criminal defense attorney. But there was an experience I had in high school that really solidified that for me. So we had a cooperative education program at my high school that allowed us to work with a professional in their field for a semester. And I had the opportunity to do that with a criminal defense attorney in Toronto, who was actually pretty innovative at the time pertaining to DWI defense. And I was with him 4 days a week for a semester. We were in court every day, and it was exhilarating. I loved it.
That's amazing.
It really was, actually, come to think of it, because I'm not sure that you could do that here in North Carolina. I was allowed to continue cases for him as a high school student.
Wow.
It was insane, but I loved it. So that's why I knew that I wasn't wasting my time going to law school. I knew I wanted to do this work. I never wavered from it, funny enough.
That's amazing. And you found yourself at Charlotte Law, right?
I did, yes.
Uh-huh. And what was that experience like? I know that it was a new program at the time, and it's not there anymore. And so it must have been a different sort of law school experience than most of your peers had.
Well, it was the only one that I knew. But at the time, when we went to school, we had great professors. Some of them are still out here in the community. They're now my colleagues. Rob Corbett was my trial advocacy professor. I had an amazing advanced evidence professor. Judge Don Bridges was my advanced evidence professor. So it was an interesting, you know, predicament to find ourselves in after everything what happened with the school. But at the time, we really did have great professors, but it was the only experience that I knew.
Wow. So you have always known that this is what you wanted to do, and you did it. As much as you would think that might be the regular path, that's pretty unusual. So there, we are going to be offering some really great programming for criminal defense attorneys at the convention this year. And we haven't been able to offer like the Master's in Criminal Defense program in several years. So we're pretty excited about it. Have you taken a look at the programming on that track yet?
Yeah, I have. It's really exciting, actually. It's a criminal master's focus on DWI defense, chaired by the Bill Powers.
Yes.
Amazing. He's got a great lineup of speakers set for everybody. I haven't seen a program like this at convention since we last had masters at convention. As you mentioned, it has been several years. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, we're very excited about that one.
I'm so glad that we brought that back.
And we are coming back to Charlotte for the third time since 2022. So we've never been there before. And here we are again for the third time in 4 years. So we must love Charlotte, huh?
We love Charlotte.
So what are you most excited about NCAJ back in Charlotte? What are you most excited about there?
I love Charlotte. I live in Charlotte. I went to law school in Charlotte. I think John and I are really excited about seeing everybody come back to Charlotte this year for convention. We're going to be at the Omni. We've got some great programming. We've got some great speakers. There's going to be fun events, a mimosa and Bloody Mary bar back this year, everybody. There might be an addition to that as well. You know, look out. It'll be announced soon. I see convention as like a family reunion with some of my favorite people and some of the smartest people that I've ever met. And it's kind of cathartic, I think, especially for criminal defense attorneys and for plaintiffs' lawyers and such to get together and learn together, commiserate together, celebrate together, engage with each other, and kind of enjoy each other, because what we do is tough. And convention can be really cathartic. I think it's going to be really a good time this year. And we're going to be at the NASCAR Hall of Fame, too. So that's going to be a good time.
Yeah. Have you been?
I have, actually. Yeah. And that's actually where our law school graduation. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun venue.
Yeah, it's a really cool museum. And I've been part of one other like large event that was held at the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And I don't know what I expected, but it definitely surpassed my expectations. And it was just really, they tell the story of NASCAR really well there. And you don't have to be a NASCAR fan to appreciate it, because it's really just sort of the history of North Carolina told through the lens of this very unique sport. You know, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I appreciate, because not everybody is a NASCAR fan, but it does kind of reach across in that way, which is good.
All right. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Aw, thanks for having me.
Yeah. And thanks for all that you have done to lead NCAJ throughout the years with all of your committee service, and especially the past couple of years with your service as DEI chair. We really appreciate all the work that you've done.
Thank you, Amber. That's really nice. And it's been my pleasure to serve. And I look forward to any future service that NCAJ may look for me for. So,
and you will continue to serve next year on the executive committee. Again, what is your role next year? Remind me. Are you nominated for?
I'm nominated to be at large chair for the executive committee, and I'm going to be focusing on leading the criminal defense legislative subcommittee.
Yeah, we're very excited about that new role, the expansion of that new role. Well, thank you again for all of that and for being on the pod. And thank you, everybody, for listening. If you have not registered for Convention 2025, it is coming up June 18 through 20. So go right now to ncaj.com/convention-2025 and sign up. We will see you there.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Voices of NCAJ. For more information on the North Carolina Advocates for Justice and how to join or support NCAJ, please visit our website at www.ncaj.com.